Aşk parası.
Charles, thanks very much. I was reading about you in the paper, actually, on the way through. So, good luck with the new job. And I just said to Mark on the way in, I hope you're going to write nice things about me in 2011 when you do the Unsworth Review or whatever it is on politicians. And for the scientists in the room that deal with marine life, I was at a function on Saturday night where someone got up and said, what is the difference between an orange roughie and a politician? And the answer was, one is a scum-sucking bottom dweller and the other one's a fish. So I knew I wasn't in the right place at the point that they made that comment. But anyway, life moves on. But thank you all for coming. I want to do two things this morning, as Charles pointed out. First, I'm going to announce the research and science component of next week's budget. Announcing this separately from other budget measures shows how important research and science are to this government. They are key elements of the government's economic agenda, both this year and in the years in the future. Second, I want to release the government's direction for science and innovation called Igniting Potential. Before I do any of these things, though, I want to put this budget announcement into an economic context. Where have we been? Where are we going? And where does science fit into all of this? So where have we been is actually pretty straightforward to describe. In the last 2 years, we've been in recession, amplified by the effects of the global economic and financial crisis. Our first year in office was therefore focused on getting New Zealand through the crisis and in as good a shape as possible. That was not an easy task. In order to sustain economic activity, keep up public services and support jobs, the government significantly increased its borrowing, absorbing much of the shock of the recession on its own balance sheet. At the same time, we fulfilled election commitments and kept control of the country's finances, in particular maintaining our international credit rating. The worst of the global crisis has now passed, and as the clouds part, it's clear that New Zealand has weathered the economic storm much better than many other developed economies. Our economy has begun to grow again, although tentatively, and last week's household labour force survey showed that unemployment is dropping, which I think we'll all agree is tremendous news. So the government's attention in terms of the economy has now turned to two key objectives. The first, lifting the long-term performance of the New Zealand economy, and secondly, maintaining firm control of the government's finances. Maintaining firm control of the government's finances means bringing the budget back into surplus over the next few years and returning public debt to a prudent and manageable level. At the moment, we are borrowing $240 million a week, and that cannot continue indefinitely. Crucially, we have kept a tight rein on spending increases well out into the future. So new operating spending allowances have been limited to $1.1 billion a year, increasing at 2% each year from 2011-12. The new spending will be directed only to a few areas of highest priority. Most government agencies will see no additional funding in the foreseeable future. That is why it is highly significant that behind health and education, science will get the biggest increase in operating spending in the 2010 budget. And what will be a very responsible budget, we have continued to prioritise funding for research and science. That is because science fits into the first of our objectives, lifting the long-term performance of the New Zealand economy. Knowledge, as you all know in this room, drives prosperity. That has long been established. And the government has a crucial role in ensuring that knowledge is developed and used to improve the living standards of all Kiwis. So Sir Peter Gluckman, who has vast experience of science systems around the world, tells me we are lagging behind other countries. As a small country, recovering from recession, we do not have lots of new money to spend. But we can make research and science a priority for new budget spending, and we can certainly improve the way we do things. The government wants to establish a high-performing public service, public science system which supports economic growth, and a wider innovation system that encourages firms to increase their investment in and application of research. Achieving that won't happen overnight. It takes an ongoing program of policy, institutional and funding initiatives over a number of years to effect real and enduring change. That is what we began when we first came into government, and I do want to acknowledge Dr. Wayne Mapp's leadership in this area. In last year's budget, we focused on boosting the public science system, including more secure funding for CRIs through the Capability Fund, as well as increased funding for the Health Research Council and the Marsden Fund. We established the Primary Growth Partnership to invest alongside industry in research and innovation to boost New Zealand's primary, forestry and food sectors. We are funding a network of open access food development and commercialisation facilities across New Zealand. We are also investing significantly in the Domestic Centre for Agricultural Greenhouse Research, Gas Research, and the Global Research Alliance to drive much-needed research on agricultural greenhouse gas emissions. We have begun to make significant changes in the CRI sector, working from the recommendations of the CRI Task Force. In particular, we are going to be much clearer about the role and the purpose of each CRI, fund them on a more strategic and longer-term basis, and improve the way we monitor their performance. To support these and other changes, the government is combining its science agencies, Morst and Forst, to give science a strong voice and to simplify and better coordinate science administration. My own objective has been to lift the profile of science in New Zealand. On becoming Prime Minister, I appointed Sir Peter Gluckman as Chief Science Advisor, reporting directly to me. I also launched the Prime Minister's Prizes for Science, with total prize money of $1 million, because I think our world-class scientists deserve their share of public acknowledgement and acclaim. I was delighted to award the first round of these prizes in March this year to some really outstanding scientists. So the Budget 2010. Well, Budget 2010 takes this program a step further by shifting the focus onto business R&D. Our goal is for firms to make better use of R&D to take greater advantage of market opportunities. New Zealand has very high quality research institutions, both public and private, which are carrying out cutting-edge science. But we have some way to go when it comes to turning scientific knowledge and insights into business growth. For a long time, New Zealand firms have undertaken a relatively low level of R&D compared to firms in other developed countries. That is in part due to our industry structure. We simply don't have a large defence or pharmaceutical industry, for example, but it is really only part of the story. New Zealand is also wanting when it comes to taking up and applying research for commercial ends. That includes both research that's been done in New Zealand and research that comes from overseas. So the main part of the budget package is a boost in support for business R&D. In total, the budget allocates $321 million for new initiatives within RS&T over the next 4 years. Of that, $225 million is new funding, and $96 million has been reallocated from across other parts of the vote. As I said before, this level of new funding means that RS&T gets the third biggest increase in funding in the budget, behind only health and education. This increase in funding has allowed us to significantly expand and refine the way we support business R&D. We are re-engineering the support which exists at the moment and introducing new measures where there are gaps. The biggest of the new measures is an investment of $189.5 million over 4 years to create a brand new type of R&D grant. These grants will be targeted at medium to large research-intensive firms which can show that their activities result in wider benefits to New Zealand. They will almost and certainly include, but are not limited to, firms that undertake high-value manufacturing. The government will contribute 20% of the firm's expected R&D spend for a period of 3 years, up to a set maximum. In turn, the firms can determine exactly what R&D activities this money is spent on. These firms are, after all, R&D savvy, so they know better than anyone where the funding will be best spent. Funding through technology development grants will give the firms the confidence to invest in long-term R&D programs, increasing the amount of research they do. Firms will also already have R&D experience, firms which already have R&D experience will have a real incentive to do better. We are retaining the existing Tech New Zealand grants, which provide for 50% funding of a particular project. These work well for many firms, and we are keen to continue with them, albeit with a sharper focus. However, the new technology development grants are something entirely different. They are not project-based, which cuts down on bureaucracy, and lets research-intensive firms determine the best use of the funding. Neither are they delivered through the tax system. This means we avoid the sort of inventive accounting and lack of cost control that plagued the tax-based measures like R&D tax credits. I think the new grants are a real step forward. Another new tool we are introducing is a technology transfer voucher. We are putting $20 million over 4 years into these vouchers. They will be targeted at firms which don't have much of an in-house R&D capability, but would really benefit from working with a public research organisation like a university or a CRI. Firms will be able to apply for a voucher, typically worth around $100,000 to $200,000, which they can then use to get a project completed with a research organisation. Having these vouchers will obviously result in more R&D being done to the benefit of New Zealand firms. But they will also have wider benefits in terms of improving links between business and the science system. In particular, they provide an incentive for research organisations to collaborate with firms and to be responsive to what firms need and what they want. And they have the potential to demonstrate to all New Zealand firms, including those that don't have vouchers, the benefits of working with the public research organisations to improve their businesses and develop new ideas. Another $24.7 million has been set aside in the budget for initiatives to help capture and the commercial value of research done in public research organisations. There is scope in New Zealand to improve the way that new technologies are transferred from research organisations, which generate new science knowledge, to businesses which can use this knowledge to produce and sell goods. In addition, we can improve the way research organisations themselves commercialise the new knowledge they create. In any case, it is important that we get better in New Zealand at diffusing the knowledge generated by the public science system. To that end, the government will be investing $11 million over 4 years to establish a national network of commercialisation centres. This network will bring together existing expertise from the commercialisation units already attached to public research organisations. We don't want to duplicate what currently exists in this area, but we do want to see commercialisation units working together, sharing their expertise and developing critical mass for the benefit of New Zealand as a whole. This initiative is in the early stages of development, but we have secured money for it in the budget and intend to put out a request for proposal to operate the new network later this year. A number of other technology transfer initiatives are being considered as well, including funding to assist actual commercialisation projects. Again, we have secured money in the budget to cover these initiatives, but full proposals are still being worked out. Ladies and gentlemen, Budget 2010 has a strong focus on improving business R&D performance. But the budget also recognises the importance of New Zealand's science capability, particularly when it comes to talented people and research infrastructure. The budget will contain a new fellowship program for emerging talent. A total of $25 million over 4 years will be invested in the Rutherford Discovery Fellowship Program, which will target our most talented postdoctoral researchers in their early to mid careers. These prestigious grants were worth up to $200,000 a year for up to 5 years. In addition, the budget includes $9 million over 3 years for a program to attract top-flight entrepreneurial scientists to New Zealand. This program will start in 2011, will attract high-caliber researchers with experience or expertise as entrepreneurs to improve the value we get out of public research organisations. Research infrastructure is another crucial element of our science and innovation system. New Zealand needs infrastructure of an international standard if we are to attract and retain talented people and enable them to undertake world-class research. For that reason, the budget sets aside $44 million over 4 years as part of a plan to expand our research infrastructure. Some large items such as high-performance supercomputing or contributions to big science projects like the Square Kilometre Array are too big for one institution to develop in their own right. The government intends to take a national approach to investing in key infrastructure and will include the funding set aside in the budget. Now, as I said at the beginning of this speech, I'm also taking the opportunity to release a document called Igniting Potential, New Zealand's Science and Innovation Pathway. This has been Dr. Matt's initiative, and it is a document that clearly explains the direction we are taking with research, science and innovation. It emphasises that these are, and will remain, areas of significant focus for the government. The past 18 months have been a period of significant change in the science sector, and the document reflects on where we are and, I guess most importantly, where we're heading. It captures and summarises the changes taking place in the science system, like setting clearer priorities for science, reshaping CRIs, and today's announcement of business R&D incentives. But the book is by no means the end of the story. The document is deliberately called a pathway because this is a long-term program of change. You'll see in Igniting Potential that there are further improvements to come. For example, in areas of building science infrastructure, attracting talented people, and building international partnerships. We will continue to build our science and innovation system in the years ahead. We'll back the programs that work well and ensure that resources are directed to where they will get the best results. So please take a copy of the document on the way home, and thank you for the opportunity to share our thoughts on the role that science will play in the upcoming budget.
Well, thank you very much, Prime Minister. The research, development and science community is a very important part of the Wellington economy. We have a number of CRIs based here. And anything that can be done to encourage greater collaboration at that level with the universities and also the business community is fantastic news for us. And it sounds as though the policies you have just announced are spot on in that space. So we'll study the detail, but what you described sounded pretty good to us. So thank you very much. So the Prime Minister will now go and speak to the media and answer questions and answers. The rest of you, please enjoy the food and beverage on the table, and the Prime Minister will be back in the room in a few minutes. So thank you very much, Prime Minister.